Last week, I shared a message with you about living by the Spirit. That is the life that we have been called to live as a believer, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives instead of just living by that old sinful nature. We are a new creation in Christ. And that's the life that we really want to live. So I want to begin today just with some real basic truths. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You know, the idea of being born again is, well, it's made fun of a lot in our world. And it seems like even some who call themselves Christians kind of make fun of it. But being born again is more than just some Christian jargon. It is something supernatural, and it is something that Jesus says we're supposed to be born again. Being born again is simply something that happens in us when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We put our trust in Him as the one who paid the price for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. We know that because the Scripture says in 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now that's a very, very simple Scripture. Obviously, even the devils, the demons, believe and tremble, James tells us. But he's talking about those that truly believe. When you put your trust in Him, you are born again. And so I want to just say that very plainly to you this morning, that if you have truly put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're born again. You are born of the Spirit of God because the Holy Spirit is in you. And when the Holy Spirit is in you, you are different. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man or if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now in this translation it says all things are become new. And I know that sometimes preachers like to say all things means all things, but I'm going to mess you up a little bit this morning because all things doesn't necessarily mean all things. I said, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, first of all, if you look at this passage in the Greek, in the Koine Greek in which it was written, there is no word there where it says all things. It's not even there at all. But the translators felt like it was inferred, and I just want to say very plainly that I respect that. The translators know a whole lot more about Koine Greek than I do. And so I'm not going to say that they're wrong. What I am going to say, though, is that when it says all things and what they're inferring there in the context, it is talking about you as a new creation in Christ. It is talking about what God has done on the inside of you. It's all new. You're a new creation in Christ. All things. I mean, that's on the inside of you. You see, I think sometimes people get mixed up and messed up and confused and disillusioned because it's in you that all things become new. You see, when you got born again, you didn't get a new body. That's coming someday. There's going to be a redemption of our bodies. We're going to have a glorified body, an immortal body. But we're not there yet. You didn't get a new body when you got born again. You probably didn't get a new job. You probably didn't get a new car, a new house, a new spouse. No, you find out that a lot of the things that were this way before you got born again, well, guess what? It's not new. It's still the same. In fact, you get born again, sometimes you're still dealing with a lot of the same issues in life. They don't all just go away just because you got born again. Your spirit is born of God. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But when you're born again, your mind, your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, is not automatically totally Christ-like. I mean, God didn't open up your head and give you a new brain. I mean, some of us need one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we need to have our brain washed. But God doesn't take out your old brain and put in a brand new one. Still got the same old brain. Here's what I want you to understand. is that what God did in us when we become a new creation, listen, the change isn't over. It's just the beginning of what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. He doesn't automatically transform your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. If you're not the brightest bulb on the tree before you get saved, you're probably still not the brightest bulb on the tree. But I will tell you this, is that the Word of God can take a simple person and make them wise. But that doesn't happen automatically when you get born again. No, you still got the same brain. But you're a new creation, a new creature in Christ. And you're not supposed to live that old life anymore. Listen, you might still be married to the same person, but you don't act the same anymore. You might still have the job, but you handle things differently than you used to. Your bank account might still show the same thing, but you deal with your money different than the way you used to. Because something happened on the inside of you. You see, in that sense, all things have become new. But we just need to understand. I think some Christians get disillusioned and they just go right back to kind of living the same old life because they say, well, maybe I guess this is all it is. But we're not supposed to live that old life anymore. We're supposed to live by the Spirit. Now, in one sense, living by the Spirit is easy, especially on a Sunday morning. I mean, it's like jumping in a pool. You just jump in. I'm going to live by the Spirit. You just decide. I'm going to live by the Spirit. I'm not going to live that old way anymore. I'm going to live by the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. But then Monday morning comes, and you start your commute to work. And then you see an attractive woman. And then your boss comes in chewing you out. Real life starts happening. And you are no longer just floating through life. I want you to understand this morning, when we're talking about living by the Spirit, we're not talking about floating through life. Because life will happen, it will throw you off base. I'm telling you, all of a sudden, all of that can just go right out the window. Here's what I want you to understand, that right in the middle of your commute and when you see a pretty girl and your boss is giving you a rough time, right in the middle of real life, you can live by the Spirit. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I said you could live by the Spirit. But I will tell you this right now, is that if we're going to live by the Spirit like that, we have to change the way we think. If we still think the same old way, you see, this is why this is a growing process. This didn't just all happen at once when you became a new creation in Christ. But we're supposed to grow. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's telling the Corinthians, he says, you're carnal, still babes in Christ. Listen, we shouldn't still be carnal, babies in Christ. When we've been serving the Lord for 10 years or 20 years, we're supposed to grow up and be spiritual people, be led by the Spirit. So we got to learn to live by the Spirit on a daily basis and be spiritual minded. And to do that, you got to change the way you think. Romans 8, 5, and 6. We talked about these two verses last week, but we're going to focus on these today. Romans 8, 5, and 6, he says, those who live according to the flesh, that old nature, he says, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we're going to live by the Spirit. We've got to have our mind on the things of the Spirit. You set your mind on the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, he says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you know what? That's how we're supposed to live. Life and peace. He says, the carnal mind is death. We don't want that. We don't want that destruction. We don't want trouble. We don't want problems. We don't want all that in our life. We want that life in peace. You know what? It reminds me of what the Lord told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He gives them a choice. He says, I set before you this day life and death. And then he tells them which one to choose. He says, choose life And I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't take a whole lot of sense to figure out, we want this one, life and peace. That's what we want. And how does that happen? It says we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. We got to get our minds off of the things of this world, off of the things of the flesh, and onto the things of the Spirit. The carnal mind. What is the carnal mind, that mind on the flesh? It's a mind that's controlled by the sense realm. What I see, what I hear, what I feel. And when I say controlled, I'm using that rather loosely, because the carnal mind isn't really controlled at all. No, usually the carnal mind is just allowed to run wild. You just think whatever you think, and what you hear, what you see, and what you feel. And in fact, what's been programmed into your mind previously, you know, your mind just goes. No control at all. But we have to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Spiritual mind is on the things of the Spirit. So we know that when we interact with other people, do we just see them just with natural eyes, or do we see them as God sees them? Do we look at them with a carnal mind, or do we look at them through the eyes of the Spirit? So many of our interactions with other people, you know, we miss opportunities to be a blessing to someone, to help someone, to be used of the Lord to impact somebody else's life. And when we're carnal-minded, we just kind of stumble through life and we make mistakes. At best, we do what we think is right, but you know what the Bible says about that? There's a way that seems right to a man, and the end is destruction. No, the answer here is that we got to get our mind on the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. You know, when you're having conversations with people, what a difference it makes if we pause long enough just to get our mind on the Spirit and what God might want to do. But I'm working a business deal. I'll tell you what, I want God right in the middle of my business deal. Because you know what? No matter how things look, no matter what a person says, you can make the wrong choice real quick. But when you're led of the Spirit, God will guide your footsteps. He will show you the right way to go. How often we miss those divine opportunities. We walk right by something that God had for us. We got to stay in tune with the Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, it says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and I believe that's true. How much more are the steps of someone who is being led by the Spirit ordered of the Lord? I believe Jesus' steps were ordered of the Lord everywhere he went. He said, I do what the Father tells me to do. I say what he shows me, what he tells me to say. Everywhere he went. And you see, that's the life that we should aspire to. That we just want to be led of the Lord in everything that we do, everywhere we go. One of the things that's interesting to me about the life of Jesus is that he accomplished in 3.5 years of ministry more than everybody else in the whole world has ever done. You know what I'm saying? And he did it all without ever being in a hurry. Now, he didn't do everything that everybody thought he ought to do, but he did everything that the Father had for him to fulfill. And he did it all without ever being in a hurry. You never see Jesus being late. Anybody like me, you're always in a hurry because you're always struggling, trying not to be late or later. Now, my wife, she says, I'm not speeding anymore. And you know why? It's because it's not about, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, because it's against the law. But you know what? For her, it's because Jesus was never in a hurry, and she's not going to be in a hurry. Amen. You know, a lot of the time, that has to do with, well, we didn't leave on time, and that's another part of being led of the Spirit. But anyway, I'm just telling you, it's amazing when we're just led of the Spirit, how it makes the difference in our life when we're not always struggling, always striving, always in a mess. Being spiritually minded. You know, that just sounds like some kind of strange life, you know. And I've heard people say things like, oh, they're too spiritually minded to be of any earthly value. I've heard people say that. I've never actually seen it. Now, I have seen some people who just were weird. It wasn't because they were spiritual. They're just weird. But I never met anybody that was actually too spiritually minded. I've met a whole lot of Christians that were too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. And that's where the real issue is, that we need to learn to be heavenly minded, be spiritually minded, have our mind on the things of God so we can live the life we've been called to live, because the mind on the Spirit is the one that's led by the Spirit. Colossians 3:2, he says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What if this was like a command? I mean, what if it's not just some nice idea, you know, some suggestions? Hey, here's a thought. Let's put our mind on things. What if this is a command? What if this is inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak to Christians today? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Do you realize how much of our time we spend with our mind on the things of the earth? We live in this earth. Surely we got to deal with real life, but we need to deal with real life with the Holy Spirit's guidance and instruction. And that happens as we set our mind on the things above, on the things of God, not just on earthly things, temporal things. If we're earthly minded, I'm telling you, it makes it impossible for us to really live for God and all that He has for us. We'll always end up doing what our old nature wants instead of what God wants. You know, preachers like to meddle with your pocketbook, and so I'm gonna. You get your tax refund. What are you going to do with that tax refund? Now, if you just have your mind on earthly things, you might start thinking, you know what? I've been wanting that new phone for a long time. You know, my old one works just fine, but I want that new one. It's really cool. I'm going to get me that new phone. But what if you just instead got your mind on the Lord, on the things of God, and you thought, what would the Lord have me to do? Maybe the Holy Spirit would just lead you to go get that brand new phone. Or maybe the Holy Spirit might say something like, you know what? Just leave that in the bank account for now. Just leave it alone. Well, that's no fun. I want that new phone. But what if the Holy Spirit just gives you a peace about that? You know what? I just need to leave that alone. Leave that in the account for right now. And then a month or two later, you're out at the lake on your friend's boat, and you lean over, and there goes your phone in the water. My phone. Now, you bought that new one, and you know what? All of a sudden, you're filled with all kinds of emotion, and none of it is good. You're all kinds of upset. My phone. I just bought it. I spent so much money on that phone. Or what if you left that money in the account like the Holy Spirit impressed you to do? There went that old phone. I wonder if now the Holy Spirit's going to release me to go buy that new one. You know what? It's life and peace and no thing. I'm just telling you, a lot of the time, the Holy Spirit will bless us. He'll help us. He'll show us how to do life. Now, that may be too simplistic of an example, but it comes down to all kinds of things that happen in relationships. You're talking to a drunk man one day, and he's asking you questions about God. How are you going to talk to a drunk man? You know, what I see in the ministry of Jesus was that so many times, He didn't just respond or react to what people said, but He responded with what they needed. And how we need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that way. You say, well, it's not in ministry. It's just, you know what, I was going through life and this person started giving me a hard time. How am I going to handle that? You know what? That's the very time you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Have your mind on the things of God instead of the things of this world. In Philippians 3, 17 through 19, I'm going to read that in just a moment. But when he talks about our walk, I want you to remember that it's how we live out our lives. He says, brethren, join in following my example. And note that those who so walk, and note those who so walk, as you have for us a pattern. For many walk, he's talking about how you live, right? Many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, and who set their mind on earthly things. Now, I realize this passage says some pretty strong things, but you know what? There are a lot of believers that are not really living the life that God has called them to. Their mind is on earthly things, and they end up living an ungodly life, a mind on earthly things, just living a natural life, you know. Sure, I go to church. I believe in Jesus. But their mind is on earthly things. I'm telling you, we got to get our mind on heavenly things. When your mind is on earthly things, you think wrong. You just think wrong. You think, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I don't have time for the things of God. I don't have time. Some people think they don't have time to go to church. Some people think right now, during this weird time we're in, they think they don't have time to set their TV, their internet, and watch the online service. That's amazing how the devil, through situation and circumstance, see, the prince of the power of the air, he's always at work through situation and circumstance. If you've got your mind on the things of this earth, you're going to be manipulated. Satan tempted Jesus. And you know what? Jesus was ready. We need to be ready. We need to realize that as we're going through life, there are things where Satan is going to try to set you up. But if we're in tune with the Spirit, we'll be ready for those things. But we got to break free from that old carnal mind. You know, some people, when you get hurt and they get offended, they start thinking wrong. Their thinking is all focused on what happened to them. But if we're in tune with the Spirit and we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, our minds are on Him, then we'll get free from that. We'll be able to forgive and move past that. That's life in peace. See, when you can forgive, when you can move past it, that's life in peace. But when you can't, and you just keep focusing on what was done to you and how you were wronged, and, boy, I can't let them get away with it. You know what that is? Death. The carnal mind. It's contrary to the mind of God. It's contrary to the will of God. So we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8. We read verses 5 and 6. The carnal mind is death. The spiritual mind is life and peace. And here's verse 7. The next verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Enmity. It means it's hostile towards God. It's always striving for what it wants instead of what God wants. Then the very next verse, he says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So verse 7, he says, the carnal mind is hostile towards God. In verse 8, he says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I want you to understand, those that have a carnal mind and those that are in the flesh who can't please God, same people. If you got a carnal mind, you're going to be walking in that old nature, and you can't please God that way. Can't please God. It says it very plainly. Cannot please God. The only way we can please God is if we're walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit. Our minds are on the things of the Spirit. And I realized this morning that for some of us, there's just this like, what is that preacher talking about? This is the way that we're supposed to live as a believer. It is not just pray this prayer. I'm telling you, God has something more for you. It is a wonderful life being led by the Spirit. This is something we learn and we grow in, but every believer ought to be seeking after, desiring to be led by the Spirit, living by the Spirit every day. See, that carnal mind can't do the will of God, doesn't want to do the will of God. When Jesus told the disciples he was going to be put to death, Peter takes him aside and he says, no, Lord, this is never going to happen to you. Now here's Jesus' response to that, Matthew 16:23. He turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Now Peter meant well. I mean, he loved Jesus, and he didn't want anything to happen to Jesus. But you see, the carnal mind can't please God. It doesn't understand the things of God, and it doesn't seek to fulfill the plan of God. It has its mind, the carnal mind is fixed on the things of this world, on temporary things, the right here and the right now. And so he doesn't want Jesus to die. He's all concerned about the right here and the right now. But Jesus knew the plan of God. And he knew that there was something that had to be done for eternity's sake. He knew that he was going to make a way of salvation for the whole world. And I'm telling you that sometimes, you see, we're just looking at things in the natural. We're just seeing the right here and the right now. And we don't realize what God wants to do. And we miss it, just like Peter did. You know, Peter had a way of saying the wrong thing sometimes, and there were some wonderful things that he said, and there were some encouraging things that Jesus said to him. This was not one of them. I mean, when the Lord says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," that's not really a compliment. I'm just saying. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you just the right thing to say. And I know for me that's happened a few times. It happens for my wife a lot. That the Holy Spirit will just give you exactly the right thing to say. What I experience a lot in my life is that if I'm being sensitive to the Spirit, if my mind is on the things of the Spirit, I get this a lot: be quiet. Because sometimes, you know, when you're engaged in conversation with people and they start saying something you disagree with, or maybe they even say something that is an attack against you, oh, how that old flesh wants to rise up and our mind starts going and we're... And sometimes the Holy Spirit is just saying, be quiet. Some of you do this with your spouse. They're saying something, it's upsetting you. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will just say, be quiet. I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit knows what you need to do in every situation. He knows what needs to be said. He knows what doesn't need to be said. But here's where we've got to make that choice, that we're going to have our mind on the things of the Spirit so we can be led by the Spirit and live by the Spirit instead of just living that old way. Because I'm going to tell you, that old way, mind on the things of the flesh, it can lead you to all kinds of trouble. It can destroy a marriage, wreck your finances, cause all kinds of problems for you. And God has something better for you. If we're going to live the life we've been called to, I'm telling you, we got to break free from some of those old ways of thinking. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And I like the way this translation says that. It's your reasonable service. In view of what God has done for you, here's the least you can do. But I really believe it. Every Christian is supposed to turn their life over to God. The second part, though, here, I want to get to this. Verse 2, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." And I want you to notice here that he says, don't be like the world. We're not supposed to be at all like this world. We're supposed to be transformed. And how does that happen? He says, by the renewing of your mind. He doesn't say that it's something that happened automatically when you got born again. No, it's something that is a process, the renewing of your mind. But when he says transformed, it is not just a natural thing, it's a supernatural thing. It's the same Greek word as used where we get our word metamorphosis, where a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. You need to understand that the DNA to be a butterfly was already in that caterpillar. But it's a process and it takes time. And you, as a born-again child of God, the Holy Spirit is already on the inside of you. That DNA is inside of you to become just like Jesus, to be changed, to be transformed, be conformed into the image of God's Son. Romans 8:29 says that we've been predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. But it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. There has to be a renewing of our mind. And so I want to point your attention to the Word of God. You see, a lot of us have some areas of our life where we really struggle, and part of the problem there is that there's a stronghold in our mind. It's an old way of thinking that maybe has been established ever since we were a little kid. Maybe it's because some things have happened to us along the way. Maybe it's something we've been taught, but however it got there, there's an answer for it, and that is the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You'll notice in this verse, he talks about the weapons of our warfare, strongholds and arguments and the knowledge of God and our thoughts. You see, they're all connected. You know, we all know we're in a spiritual battle. We need to realize that for each of us personally, part of that spiritual battle takes place in the battlefield of our mind. Don't lose your mind. Don't lose that battle. You got to have your mind on the things of God. You got to renew your mind with the Word of God. One of the things I think that really messes some believers up as they endeavor to live by the Spirit, but their soul is the one that's really leading them. They get confused about their spirit and their soul. They're not the same. Your spirit and soul are two different things. Your spirit is born of God in righteousness and true holiness. But your soul is that mind, will, and emotions. And being led of the Spirit is not at all the same as being led by your soul. So many believers think they're being spiritual, but they're just allowing their emotions, the way that they think or the things that they've been taught. They're just walking by the soulish realm. Well, here's how you can know the difference. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And there in the middle of the verse, he says that the Word of God divides between soul and spirit. How do you know what's of the soulish realm and the spiritual realm? Because the Word of God is able to show you. The Word of God will discern it for you. Let me just give you a few examples. You see, if we find ourselves complaining instead of giving thanks, we know that we're allowing the soulish realm to lead us instead of being led of the Spirit. We find ourselves being resentful and angry and bitter instead of being gracious and kind. We know the soulish realm is having its way with us. See, when we're led of the Spirit, we're not going to be anxious and worried. Instead, we're going to have peace. And oh, how much better it is to have peace than to be anxious and worried. Paul said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." Freedom. Freedom. We see to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. It's freedom. You got to get your mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, the Bible all works together. You can't just take one passage or one teaching and separate it out from everything else in the Scripture. And Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Again, we're not just floating around living by the Spirit. We need to understand that the Word of God is part of that. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32 to those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, if you abide in My Word, then you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so I want you to understand this morning, yes, you're free in the Spirit. But some of us here this morning, you need to get a hold of the truth of the Word of God and tear down some old strongholds in your thought life so that you can get your mind on the things of God and no longer be drugged down that path of those same old thought patterns that are self-defeating and get you living the same old way. God has something better for you. Life and peace. Life and peace. It's not dependent upon circumstances, but it's about a relationship with Him. It is being led of the Spirit. It's life and peace. That's what God has for you. I want you to stand with me.